We were in Reno, Nevada at the time. I was on the backside of the desert, so to speak, and we were looking for a church. And we visited quite a few churches. And we walked into Reno Christian Fellowship Center. I like their name. That's why we are called Christian Fellowship, because our church is Christian and it is a fellowship. And when the worship team sang that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," man, that just melted my heart. And it sent chills up my spine. And I was so touched by the message of that song and how it was sung. And it's still one of my favorites even to this day. Well, the man cave is pretty well reorganized again after we relocated our church office into the man cave. I had to do some reshuffling and I had to downsize a little bit. But if you can overlook the cleanup that needs to be done, the interior looking pretty nice. And we're anxious for you to come and take a look. In fact, you might help with the cleanup chore. I don't know, I'll give you some tools to work with, but in any event, we all want you to come to see the new Hope office located in the man cave, and it's a blessing in disguise, to tell you the truth, because it's an 880-foot square room, and it's loaded with books and music. And three recliner chairs are there, and one wall is lined with LP covers of some of my LP albums, and Pauline, your album, you and Chuck, is on the wall, along with some other LP covers. So it's one of a kind, and we'll be so happy to have you come. As I said earlier, that we do have extended offices in Lacey, Olympia, and Tumwater. And the extended offices consist of Starbucks, Cutter Point, another good place. And we encourage you to stay in touch, and I will stay in touch with you. Let's take out our outlines this morning and open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Now let that verse sink into your heart. Can you imagine a place where we have unlimited joy, unlimited happiness, unlimited celebration, unlimited creativity, and let your imagination roll? Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. I believe that our senses will be expanded beyond anything we can ever imagine. That's just a hint of the wonders and the fun that await God's children in heaven. Now, as a matter of fact, if you do a Google search on heaven, you know what you will find? Because I've been there and I've done it. You will find miles and miles and miles of white clouds. Maybe a stairway leading into the clouds. You may see an angel or a cherub with a little halo around. You may see a harp of some kind. But on and on and on, you'll get the world's picture of heaven. And let me tell you something. It is a million and a million and 2 millions from being a picture of the reality of paradise that the Bible describes. We have discovered that in our recent series of messages on heaven. As I said earlier, didn't go into any bookstore and look for books on heaven. Randy Alcorn, All You Want to Know About Heaven, is one of my favorite books on heaven. It's an excellent book that I can recommend. But you'll search the country over and you will never find a book on heaven that has the title, Heaven is
Fun.
You won't find it there. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about heaven being fun? Does that sound bizarre, far out, ridiculous, trivial, hard to believe? I got news for you. Read your Bible, and you will discover that heaven is a fun place. Absolutely fun. Unlimited celebration, unlimited joy, unlimited happiness, unlimited creativity, unlimited spontaneity. Heaven is unquestionable. A place where there is unlimited fun. But what I want you to get today is the simple, basic fact that heaven is fun. Let's say that together. Heaven is fun. You know what? When you read the Bible, you will discover that God, He likes to make things. He likes to build things. We read in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews about Abraham. And he was looking for a city which hath foundations. We talked about the foundations a week ago. And then it goes on to say, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Have you ever visualized God being in the building business? Well, he was, he is, and he will continue to be. God likes to make things. He's the creator. And the thrilling thing about it all is he allows you and me, people, to participate in his creation. We are workers together with God, the Bible says. We need never to forget that magnificent thing that all of us were created in the image of God. You and me. How did we get here in the first place? How did we have life breathe into us? It came when a man and a woman came together and they, as parents, became co-creators with the Almighty. Now, do you think that God needed a male and a female to bring life into being? Absolutely not. But he used us as a part of his building, as a part of his creative process, and that's what we're going to have in heaven. Now, everything is not complete. Everything is incomplete here on this earth. And our Father in heaven, God of the universe, God who presides over heaven, our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, he loves to build things. And he uses sometimes millions of years to bring things into existence. Sometimes he speaks, and he uses people. Now, do you think, in the afterlife of our life, you think in all of eternity, God's going to stop his wonderful desire to build things, to create things? I don't think so. You think he's going to, when we leave this world, say, all right, I'll let you be creative down here, and you have that capacity down here, but since you are in heaven now, sorry to say, you no longer will be a part of the creative process. You think God's going to say that? I don't think so. Let your imagination roll. And remember our operative verse that we've looked at, 1 Corinthians 2:9. I want this verse to be nailed into your heart and cemented by the Holy Spirit, so that it will lodge there and you will find comfort in it. And so I want you to repeat after me. Don't get ahead of me and don't lag behind, okay? Repeat after me. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Think about it. God has prepared heaven for the believer. And heaven is going to be more fun than you can ever imagine. You say, well, I know this about earth, living here on this earth. I know what it's like. Let me tell you something. Living life on this earth compared to heaven, let me illustrate the difference between living here and our home in heaven. Imagine going to the Puyallup Fairgrounds in the wintertime. Everything's shut down. You see the slide over there, the water slide? No water coming down the slide. I know people sliding down the slide. Oh, there's the merry-go-round over there. It's not moving. No one's riding the merry-go-round. No one's milling around the grounds. All of these machines, the apparatuses, nothing is there. Nothing is working. Nothing is functioning. Nobody is there. In other words, it's all shut down, and it's just a dismal place to be in the wintertime. But boy, when you go to the Puyallup Fair in September, wow, talk about fun, and talk about a place coming to life and moving people. While you see people shouting, nudging one another, get out of my way, you find people eating, crying, and so many things going on. Boy, in the wintertime, it's not much fun. I'll give you 100 years to live life on this planet and enjoy this earth. It's nothing compared to what heaven awaits the believer. This place is dismal compared to the beautiful place of heaven. That's like a twinkle of your eye compared to where those who are in Christ will spend heaven. And heaven is not going to be floating around on some cloud playing a harp. Remember, we discovered that heaven, according to the Bible, it will be full of a place where we will have opportunity to fulfill our dreams. You'll have time, if you want to become an astronomer. Wouldn't it be great to know all about the galaxies out there? Wouldn't it be great if you had time to develop those hidden talents that you didn't have time to develop here on earth? And so we go to heaven, and we realize that in heaven, everything that we have, all the senses that we know, that we have, at least 5 of them, I'll tell you what, they will be expanded and they will be exploded in ways that we can only imagine. These 5 senses will be expanded in heaven on your outline. In heaven, our hearing will be expanded. What kind of ears will we have in heaven? Think about it. What will we hear? Well, here on earth, we hear a lot of things that we enjoy. Don't we all like to hear the little cooing sound of a little baby? Isn't that music to the ears? I don't know about you, but I love to hear the birds sing. Now, you haven't heard birds sing until you get down into the southern part of our country, down around Nashville. In the springtime, man, the birds, the music that they make, is awesome. I love to hear the birds sing. And don't you love if you have the opportunity to walk the beach early in the morning and you hear those waves crashing in against those big boulders out there? Wow, don't we love to hear that sound? Up in the mountains, don't you love to hear the whistling of the wind through the trees? One of my favorite songs that the Sons of the Pioneers sang, "Listen to the Wind." Beautiful song. Or don't you just love to go out in the night and everything is clear and you hear the night sounds? You know what Beethoven said? You know, he was deaf, and yet he still composed some tremendous pieces of music. Beethoven said, "I shall hear in heaven." And what about music? Will there be music in heaven? Absolutely, all kinds of music. And it'll make our music here sort of puny, if I can say that word. Earthly music is great, it's fabulous, as we listen to beautiful symphonic music, classical music, country music, but that'll be just sort of puny in heaven when we hear these mass choirs of the universe get together and the mass orchestra of the universe get together, and we will hear beautiful music that is far beyond our understanding and imagination. I like to listen to classical music, but in heaven, I'll be able to learn more about classical music. I don't know anything about opera music, but I think in heaven, I will have an opportunity to learn about opera music. See, all the music that we have down here on earth, it's been disturbed, and it's been polluted and twisted in this life. But in heaven, it would all be cleaned up. Dell, do you think rock and roll music will be in heaven? I say, yes, it will, but it will be baptized in heaven. That's okay, huh? What about jazz? What about gospel singing? I love to hear those gospel singers sing those spiritual songs. What about the Sound of Music, Julie Andrews? That's a beautiful soundtrack. How I love to listen to Billy Graham and the choirs of Cliff Barrows and the choirs that they sing. Sadly to say, the younger generation don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about Billy Graham and those choirs that Cliff Barrows put together. I will always remember and have a deep affection for Ethel Waters when she sang, "His eye is on the sparrow." No one could sing it like she could. How about "The Mighty Fortress Is Our God" from Martin Luther and Isaac Watts? "Alas, and did my Savior bleed," and Handel's "Messiah." And you look at all the hymns that Charles Wesley wrote and Fanny Crosby. I mean, look at that great hymns that we have. Beautiful music. But it's puny compared to the music that we will hear in heaven. We like the sound of music. You come into my man cave and you'll have music playing. More likely than not on an 8-track. And it's beautiful music, but on earth it's puny compared to the music we will have in heaven. So I believe that our five senses will be expanded and exploded in heaven, and it will be so much fun. So much fun. Heaven is going to be fun. Actually, the only thing that we will lose here on earth when we go to heaven is death. In heaven, there'll be no more death. You will never hear the siren of the ambulance. You'll never see a wheelchair in heaven. I can't wait to see Barbara Johnson, confined so long with her illness of MS. I can believe she's dancing up a storm in heaven now, walking all over heaven. You take away death, you take away pain, clean up our personalities, get our minds and our hearts thinking right, give us that new resurrected body, and my goodness, heaven is going to be such more fun than we can ever imagine. Wow. As a matter of fact, that's what Steve Jobs, his last words as he lay dying, he opened up his eyes and he said, wow. And he breathed his last breath on earth, but he breathed his first breath in heaven. Wow. What about seeing? What about our sight? Our sight will be expanded. Man, the colors that we'll see. Now, I've been told there are just four primary colors, right? There's red, white, yellow, and blue. Isn't that four? You take these four colors, and you have an artist put it on a palette, and that artist would mix together these four basic colors. And I've been told that the human eye has the capacity to see 10 million different colors and shades, but that's nothing compared to what we will see in heaven. You think God is going to be limited to four colors in heaven? I don't think so. Wow. Things are incomplete, left undone here on this earth when our death comes prematurely. I remember when Mary Ann and I was visiting the Grand Ole Opry back in 04, and we went through the place where Marty Robbins had his desk, and where Marty Robbins wrote many of his songs, and we saw the race car that he drove. Do you know who I'm talking about today, folks? Can you identify with who Marty Robbins is? His desk was left exactly in the same spot with the same material on the desk. His glasses were laying just like that on the desk. A sheet of paper and a pen. I believe that in heaven, he will complete a lot of more songs on a heavenly frequency. By the way, Marty Robbins became a believer here on this earth in a small church in Arizona. That was his connecting point with God. That's why heaven will be so much fun. What about the sense of smell? What about the ability to smell? You say, well, that's no big deal. It's a big deal to me. Let me tell you something. I can stand here and I can close my eyes and I can smell my mother's homemade bread that she was baking in the oven. Man, oh man, that aroma floated out the kitchen, out into the play yard where we were playing, and we could smell that homemade bread all the way down the country road. And boy, we got on our bicycles and we pedaled home. We couldn't wait to get a freshly baked piece of bread from my mom's kitchen. And then you put homemade butter over it. Yummy in the tummy. I can close my eyes and I can still smell that. When I was a little lad, I would walk up downtown Toffanish with my grandpa. We called him Pop. We would stand on the street corner for a while. And then he'd mosey us on over to Trimble's Soda Fountain, and he'd buy a milkshake for him and for me. The great big canisters, 25 cents. And man, it was so good. And then we would walk down by the A&M Bakery. My goodness, you just had to stop and go inside and buy some pastries, which we did. I can close my eyes, and I can still smell it today. I could go on and on with the memory of smell, and so can you. What about our taste? Our taste will be expanded in heaven. By the way, do you know who are the VIPs in Hawaii? You know who they are? You may be surprised, unless you know the islands. I mean, all the famous people in the world go to Hawaii. Eileen, Sherry, Patricia, Marcy. Join other stars and go into Hawaii. You know who the real big shots of the islands are in Hawaii? Pauline's been there. Tom's been there.
You've been there.
I've been there once or twice.
Yeah.
Anyone else been to Hawaii that I haven't mentioned? Raise your hand. There you go. Do you know who the big shots are in Hawaii? It's the chefs. It's the chefs. I kid you not. A chef goes along like King Kong in Hawaii. I mean, a chef in Hawaii, he is known throughout the whole island of Hawaii. You know why? Because they know how to cook. All the books that are written, there's been a lot of books, but at the top of the list is cookbooks. Can you believe that? Look at TV. How many of us watch In the Kitchen with David on QVC? Raise your hand. Sure. Hey, you all, get with the program. He has a lot of good ideas, creative ideas on how to cook, and also cooking utensils that go along with it. I mean, they got kids competing in cooking shows, teenagers competing in cooking. Wow. Now, sometimes it takes a little while to adapt our taste buds. I remember growing up, my mom, who lived down in the South for a long time, she always liked to put grits on the table. I didn't like grits at all then, but you know what? I enjoy grits today. That's a good breakfast cereal. But look at this. It'll be something to sit down at the marriage feast of the Lamb. That'll be a fun thing when we arrive at the wedding feast. That will be there between the Lord Jesus and all of us who are in Christ Jesus, who are called the bride of our Lord. That's fun. It'll be a feast, not a snack. A banquet, a party in celebration. The marriage supper of the Lamb, as it's described in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. Don't have time to read those verses. You can look them up yourself. But be able to sit down at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Won't that be fun? You like to eat here? We're going to eat in heaven. Jesus, in his resurrected body, he cooked some fish. He liked to cook, and he liked to eat in heaven. Well, let's move on. What about our feelings? Our feelings will be expanded in heaven. I mean, just to touch the soft skin of a little baby. How does that make you feel? For the touch of regular cotton sheets, and then feel the touch of linen sheets, so soft. And now Mike Lindell not only has his pillow that he's marketing, but he has these comfortable, smooth sheets that he's marketing as well. We were taught in school that there are only elements in nature. For example, there were only four of them: fire, water, air, and earth. Does that cover everything? Can you imagine anything else? Kind of covers it, doesn't it? And that's about all that we can feel. But do you think God is going to be limited? Man, there's going to be so many things to feel. And I believe our emotions will explode. And our sensitivities will explode in a way that I can only imagine it exploding. Heaven is going to be
fun.
You kind of petered out on me. Heaven is going to be
fun.
There you go. Now, God loves to build things. He's in the creative building business. And God never loses anything. Only thing that we will lose when we go to heaven, like I said earlier, is death and pain and sorrow. That factor will be totally eliminated. We'll lose that when we go to heaven. God will take everything that is sort of crippled and incomplete and broken and not fully understood in this world, and He will make the path straight and clean. I have said it often in recent years. One of the hardest jobs I have as a pastor, if not the hardest, probably the hardest, is walking into Mother Joseph for 15 months. I was there every week as Eileen was feeding Milo. He couldn't feed himself. He was immobile. I remember him sitting in his chair, second row, in seat. And I remember when Milo had difficulty in standing. I remember Leon would come down and help him stand. Now Bill Vanover is there, laying flat on his back, immobile. He told me when I saw him this past week, he had never been so lonely in all of his life as he is now. And I said, well, what do you think about Sandy? She's lonely too. She goes in the home and you're not there. What do you think about Jesus? He had his lonely moments. All of his disciples forsook him and fled. By the way, when you go to visit a cemetery, you'll see this written on some tombstones, and you hear people say it upon the demise of someone. Rest in peace. You know what? I don't like that. I don't think we're going to rest in heaven. There'll be peace in heaven, another kind of peace which we can only imagine, but I don't like that phrase, rest in peace. There's work to be done, more than we can ever imagine. We'll be alive and vibrant and functioning. If you're looking for rest, you're probably going in the wrong direction after this life is over. But in any event, somebody says, oh my goodness, will there be dancing in heaven? Absolutely, there will be dancing in heaven. We take dancing today in so many areas and we made it somewhat scandalous and sensual, like we disturb so many other good things on this earth. But dancing, I believe, use your imagination, it's going to be a part of heaven. After all, it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it must be in heaven. The Bible tells us that Miriam danced. The Bible tells us that David danced. So there's a time of celebration. There's something about the rhythm there in a dance that I just don't have. Still fresh in my memory. Going back, I think 21 years this August, the wedding of Bill and Sandy. I officiated at their beautiful backyard wedding. Many of you were there. And I tell you what, that was a sacred moment. And after I gave my final prayer, it must have been a long one, I don't remember that, but we all were standing up, and Sandy has so orchestrated the seating that the chairs that we were seated in, they were gone when the prayer was over. And they formed a big line, a big circle, and that was their dance floor out there on that lush, plush green grass. And they did a dance, a wedding dance. That was so beautiful. I will always remember it. I remember right here on this platform, not too long ago, when I had the pleasure of officiating at Craig and Sammy's wedding, and they danced. You all remember that? They said, "Dill, what are you doing having a dance in church?" Absolutely! It's a time of joy and celebration and rejoicing. I remember those wedding dances very vividly in my heart. Well, what about laughter? Will there be laughter in heaven? Absolutely, there will be laughter in heaven. I often wonder what the laughter of Sarah sounded like when she laughed when God told her that she would bear a son in her old age. She laughed, and then she tried to cover it up, and God, "Oh no, you laughed." And when the baby was born, she laughed again with joy. The Bible says that there will be laughter in heaven. Wow, heaven is going to be so much fun. I believe that when we all get there and join our brothers and sisters and families and other loved ones who are in heaven, they'll say, "Hey, this is fantastic. This is awesome. This is fabulous. It's just so beyond anything I can ever imagine." Marco Polo went all the way to China, and he went along what they call the Silk Road, and he went all over China back in the 13th century. And Kublai Khan was the emperor of China at that time, and the emperor really took a liking to Marco Polo, and he gave him a golden passport. It was about a foot long, inch thick, pure gold. And on this passport, in Chinese it said, "This person gets anything they want when traveling in China. Anything, food, clothing, guides, housing, money, didn't make any difference." And so Kublai Khan gave this golden passport to Marco Polo. He had everything as he walked all over China. For 24 years that took place. And so Marco Polo went back to Italy with some souvenirs he had collected in China, and the Italians had never seen things before. They didn't know what Marco Polo was talking about. They did not know anything about the postal service. Marco Polo said, "Well, they have that in China." The Italians at that time didn't know anything about coal. Marco Polo said, "Well, that's what they have in China." They didn't know anything about a whole bunch of things that Marco Polo told them that they had in China. So Kublai Khan told Marco Polo, "I want you to go back to Italy and find 100 wise, godly, Christian men and women and bring them back to China and tell the Chinese people about Jesus." I don't know if that happened or not, but the challenge that Marco Polo had when he went back to Italy was trying to explain to the Italians the lifestyle in China. It was so different. Food was different. The culture was different. The atmosphere was different. The education was different. Everything was different. And the problem he had was trying to explain to the Chinese the lifestyle of the Italians. It was just so hard. And so here, we're all familiar with the lake and the sunrise and the sunset and the stars, and we are all familiar with the things on this earth. But the things on this earth that we visit, sometimes we bring home a keepsake or a souvenir. That's all that they are. It's just a souvenir of heaven. It's just a sample of what we're going to have for us in heaven. So here's the bottom line. We have a problem. How do you get there? How do you get into heaven when the short life is over? My cousin has passed away. His memorial service will be in Yakima this Friday. I will travel to Yakima. My older brother, who lives in Burns, will officiate. He passed away at 82. And he's leaving a legacy. Don't know what it is until I hear it. But that propelled me to go into deep study and to think, all of us will be leaving a legacy. What is the legacy that you will be leaving? That's my message for next Sunday. But how do you get into heaven? You got to have a passport. You've got to make a reservation. You have to make sure that your name is written in Lamb's Book of Life to get into heaven. The passport is stamped with the blood of Jesus when you personally invite him into your life. And if you have him in your life and you have received him into your life, that is your passport, your ticket to paradise, to unlimited fulfillment, unlimited joy in the resurrected life, in the resurrected world, to a newness and freshness of an approach to life hereafter. Jesus is the only passport that will get you there. So the question is, do you have a passport? And if you don't have a passport, I'm confident that there's someone that you know that knows how you can get one. You're looking at him. And there's others in the congregation that know how to do that. Quick commentary. Years ago, Sandy's sister, Betty, came down with cancer. She didn't have long to live. And so Sandy took a Four Spiritual Law booklet out to her bedridden sister. And she walked her through that Four Spiritual Law booklet. And Betty prayed the prayer in that booklet. Betty asked Sandy, can we go through that one more time? Sandy and other members of the family have the assurance of knowing that Betty had the passport ready in hand to show when those gates flung open. Why should I let you into my heaven? And Betty would say, I have a passport here, stamped by the blood of Jesus. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the imagination of mankind what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing our closing song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord.